So the clocks have gone back then. Sadly, I was in the US, so I missed out on the extra hour's sleep. Oh, that extra hour's sleep. I look forward to that every year. And this year, I missed out on it. But we have returned in time for those darker evenings. Wow, it suddenly feels so autumnal. And if you add on to that, the sudden and somewhat surprising blizzard of Christmas commercials everywhere. And we are well on the way to this year's festive season. I'm Paul Wilkinson, and this is the Mastering Portrait Photography podcast. So how are you? Hope you're having a busy week creating images or editing or selling or tidying the studio or possibly giving the advertising on the telly, hanging up your Christmas decorations, whatever it is that you do at this bit of the season. I hope it's going well. What have we been up to? Ah, well, thank you for asking. Well, we've been away for a week. And I'm going to come back to that, and I've got some stories to tell. But in the few days we have been back in the UK, we've still managed to run 4 portrait sessions, 1 headshot session, a hearing dog session, and 4 beautiful reveals. The headshot session's great, actually. I'll talk a little bit about that. I do love doing headshots. They're one of my favourite types of portraiture. There's a purity in it. It's just a face, lights, camera, lens, you know, the kind of thing. And the whole simplicity of it really appeals. I really enjoy doing it. And the guy who came in, really good looking guy, really nice guy. He had long hair. He's a Cypriot, so dark skin, long hair, really well-trimmed beard, you know, the kind of look. Very versatile, actually. Every shot seemed to be ever so slightly different in its feel. But in fact, it was his mum and his girlfriend that said he should come over here and have some photography because he's having his hair cut. And they said he really needs to get some beautiful pictures of it before he does. And I have to say, I think off the back of the pictures, I'd have second thoughts about having it cut because he looked incredible. So it's a really nice thing to do, headshots. The reveals have been amazing. Now, I'm going to bang on a little bit about reveals. Once again, I love them. I absolutely love in-person sales. And I know I talk about this a lot, but if I can encourage you just to head down that road rather than using online. Now, we do online as well. I'm not a Puritan about online sales. I just think they're nicer. We have clients all over the world. And even this morning, an image selection came in from a client who lives in Hong Kong. Or Singapore, one of the two. And obviously, we do have to do remote sales for that. There's no way of doing in person. I probably could Skype, but I'm not a big fan of Skype. It's always a bit clunky. The lighting is terrible. It always drops out. I know we could do something about all of that and create a little studio for it. But if I get my way, we will always do in-person sales. And I know if you're nervous and a little bit uncertain of your imagery and how your client feels, it can be a little bit scary. But trust me, when you get into it, it's so much nicer. You get to see the client's reaction. You get to find out how they feel about your images. At the end of the day, nearly all objections you get from a client are about budget. And once you get your head around that, it's just a negotiation. They want something that I have, and I want something that they have. Now, it was Sarah who's been doing the reveals this week, but they've been brilliant. Again, it's really nice to see the clients. They have bought the most beautiful frames. They're going to look incredible on the wall. And yes, they've spent some money, but it's so worth it because what they're going to end up with is going to look every bit the way me and the brand here wanted it to look. We want those frames to look stunning so that when other people ask them, wow, who is that? Then it's a Paul Wilkinson image. And even if they say, well, it was quite expensive, but let's hope they say it was worth it. And I know they will, because the feedback we've had from the clients as they left here having spent their money was just wonderful. And that's the only way you'll get that. The only time you're going to get that is in-person sales. You're not going to get that with online. With online, people will spend hours trying to find the most efficient way, the best way of spending their money. Whereas with in-person sales, when you're there in the studio with them, when they're looking at the product, when you're helping them and guiding them to give them the best looking frame you possibly can or the best possible wall art you possibly can, that's when not only are you going to have the bigger sales, but you're also going to have the more satisfied clients, the happier clients. Trust me on that. So if you get that chance, switching to in-person sales, please do. And I'll continue to bang on about that in this podcast. Anyway, yeah, we've been away, ladies and gentlemen. We have been away. We went to Las Vegas. Now, I know that seems a slightly weird place to go, given particularly I am not a gambler. I didn't spend a single dollar on gambling. As the taxi driver who drove us out to one of the hotels so sagely put it, he said, "Take a look around you. The place is built on losers." And of course, that's true. But if you go there and just enjoy it and just have a fantastic time, the gambling really pales into the background. It was my 50th birthday a few weeks ago, and when Sarah earlier in the year asked me whether I wanted a party, what I'd like to do, I couldn't think of anything I wanted to do more than spend a week away with her and the kids. And originally I thought we'd go to New York, but then our daughter kind of preempted that and ended up going to New York during the summer. And so I thought differently. I thought, well, why not go to Las Vegas? I've been there a couple of times. Myself and Sarah had our honeymoon there. There's lots to do and see. It's a very vibrant city. There's lots of lively sort of entertainment. There's tons of great food. And there are plenty of things we can get, hop into a car and go drive and see. And so that's what this podcast is about. Well, not really about Las Vegas, but about the experiences we had on our way to and from this incredible city of entertainment, because you can draw plenty of parallels with portrait photography. And that's the purpose of this podcast, is to talk about how I feel, how people made me feel, the experience the people I was spending money with gave me. And so let's start with the flight out there. Now, I need to roll the clock back to January, where us and the kids, I was working in the Caribbean for a cruise company, and myself and Sarah took the kids with us. And on the flight on the way home, it's a Delta flight. It's a late flight. It's like 6 p.m. or something out of Atlanta, Georgia. We're on the flight. We're all checked in, all clipped in. Flight takes off. About an hour into the flight, the pilot, the captain, she comes on to the tannoy and says, "Ladies and gentlemen, yes, we can hear the same knocking sounds that you can." Now, frankly, I hadn't heard anything. I've got my headphones on and I'm tuned into some trashy movie. But apparently people have been reporting hearing knocking. And she said, "We're not treating this as an emergency just at the moment, but we are going to turn back to Atlanta." And so turn back we did. An hour later, we're coming into land. Well, I know she said it wasn't an emergency landing, but trust me, I have never seen so many flashing lights. There were fire engines everywhere. There were ambulances everywhere. The airport, the runway had been cleared, and we came in and had what is described, can only be described as an emergency landing. And it was eventless in the end. We kind of landed with a bit of a bump. And a lot of people sort of appearing to pray to themselves. We pulled into the terminal and they got us off the flight, and then we heard information because we'd had an emergency landing. So clearly it was an emergency landing. We're going to have a new plane and a new crew. And so we sat in the terminal for a couple of hours. They load us onto a new plane. I don't know what it was. I think it was a Boeing something. Again, we're all clipped in. We take off. And I kid you not, an hour into the flight, the new captain comes on. "Ladies and gentlemen, yes, we can hear the same knocking that you can. This is not an emergency landing just yet, but as a precaution, we're going to turn back to Atlanta." So we had our second full emergency landing in one day, on one flight, technically. We all are offloaded at the terminal again, and this time they can't give us another flight till the next day because there's a curfew on airports. You can't keep airplanes flying all night. There's no more flight. I don't think they had another plane or more crew anyway, even though Atlanta is Delta's home hub. We were going to be staying in a hotel. Now, it's really late by now. It's like midnight, 12:30. And so we have to make our way to the transport. And everything is closed, even the walkways and the railway that runs through the airport. It's a huge airport. And so we have to walk, it felt like miles, at 12:30 at night, miles to where the shuttle buses are. And we then stand and wait for about an hour, waiting to see if the Hilton bus is going to turn up. When it didn't, we blagged a taxi and got ourselves across to the Hilton. And to be fair to the Hilton, they were lovely. They checked us in, gave us a nice room or a couple of nice rooms. Toothpaste and toothbrushes, because of course all of our toiletries are in the checked baggage, which we haven't had access to. We've only got our hand luggage with us. And so we kind of, you know, scavenging our way through it. We had a good night's sleep, to be fair. The next morning we're all logged in onto the system, onto the Delta ticketing system, you know, the kind of whatever app it was, and it says we have been checked out of that flight. We now need to check in again. So we sort of let out, check in again, had a nice breakfast again, to be fair to the Hilton. They were very good. hopped on their shuttle bus back to the airport, back in, bags through, tickets, and we sat tight and waited. And of course, in the end, what happened was we weren't getting an afternoon flight, though that's what we had been scheduled to get. We were given another evening flight. So we have the whole day at the airport. And as we get on the plane, Delta give us all like a neck cushion and some eye cover things and some earphones, Bluetooth headphones, bits and pieces, you know, to try and make up for the bad experience we'd had. When we got home, we then tried to get some compensation because, of course, if you're an EU customer, you're eligible for compensation. But Delta argued, and are still arguing, that because we booked the flight through a US booking, which we did because I was working for a US company, we weren't eligible. Now, I've double-checked this, and that's not true. Because I'm an EU customer, it doesn't matter how I book the flight, I'm eligible for compensation. However, this rumbles on. And I happened to mention that to Virgin Customer Services when we were booking ourselves onto this flight to go out to Las Vegas. It wasn't anything more than just saying, I'm really glad to be back with Virgin rather than Delta, even though we actually used, Delta gave us some air miles, which we used to buy the Virgin flight because they have a partnership. But rather than go with Delta, we went with Virgin because I've always rated Virgin customer service at the very top of the pile. I think they're just exemplary customer service. We get on the flight, we get onto the flight, and there's not a lot of legroom where we're sitting, but it's fine. You know, we're booked in, it's all going to be okay. We're going to have a 10 or 11 hour flight across to LA, where we'll pick up the hire car. Just before we're due to take off, the loveliest stewardess on the planet comes and leans down to me, said, are you Paul Wilkinson? I said, yes, we are. She said, you've got a family of four. Yeah, so all four of us. She said, I hear you've had terrible customer service with us before. We'd love to make it up to you. And I said, well, it's not really you, it's Delta. Your partner wasn't you, but you know, thank you. And I had no idea that this message had been relayed. She said, would you like to go and sit with a lot more legroom? And we didn't have to think very hard about this. She took us further down the front of the plane, gave us extra legroom and champagne. And who's going to say no to extra legroom and champagne? And so we found ourselves in these really lovely seats. And she came back mid-flight and again spent a load of time talking to me about what had happened and our experience. And it was such a lovely thing. It was unexpected. I'd never really complained. I just said we'd had not great experience with Delta. And so we're back with Virgin. And she was amazing. And she and her team did everything in their power to make sure that our flight was perfect. And that's a very good lesson in customer experience. If you ever do have a customer who doesn't have a great experience, if you can do your damnedest to make the next experience even better and to make up for it, you'll have them for life. Virgin have got me for life. That one tiny little gesture, it didn't cost them much. They moved us into seats that hadn't been booked. They gave us some champagne that was probably not that expensive, but it was like $1 million to me and the family, and we loved it. And there's a great lesson in there. So anyway, on to Las Vegas. So off we fly, and a brilliant week. And I'm going to tell you two stories. I mean, we had such a good time. I'll tell you three stories, actually. The first is about a show. If you get a chance to go to Las Vegas and see Cirque du Soleil, go do it. They've been on my bucket list forever. And Kenny Martin, when I was talking to him the other week, he recommended they do different types of shows, and I didn't know that. But they do different types of shows, and one's called Love, and it's all based around the Beatles songs. Brilliant. If you get a chance to go, it's absolutely brilliant. And if you're a photographer and if you're into the visual, it's even more exciting because it is truly stunning. The experience, the lighting, the acrobatics, even the emotional side of this particular show. It was just amazing. And while we're booking our tickets, back to customer service, while we're booking our tickets, I think the guy's name was Mark. We didn't really know where to sit. We'd gone to the booking office at the Mirage to get our seats, didn't know what we were doing, walked up to this guy, and this guy was just lovely. He said, I'll help you. And he went through everything. And he was an enthusiast about the show. Anyway, he'd been to see it numerous times and was going to see it the same night we were, as it happens, though at a different time. And so he knew exactly what seats were great. And he didn't try to upsell or anything. He just said, these are the seats where I think you'll get the best view. And so I sort of prodded and poked, and it turned out if I spent a little bit more, there were slightly better seats with a slightly better view, and which we did. It wasn't much more. It was $10 or something each. And it was just brilliant. And the whole experience of booking was perfect, even down to the bit where he said, listen, he said, if you buy a food voucher with the hotel, you'll save some money. He said, you will have to eat at the hotel, but I can book you into the restaurant here and now and give you a time there. And you'll have a really lovely evening and you'll save a little bit of money. So again, you know, we did that. And what a wonderful evening it turned out to be. Now, while we were having that meal, and this is a tale of two photographers. The first photographer, while we were having that meal before the show, a photographer, we saw him kind of weave his way through the restaurant. It's a busy restaurant, and he's taking pictures at the tables. Now, this isn't something that I like particularly. When I'm working a wedding, I generally will ask not to take pictures of people while they're eating, because I don't like to interrupt their food and their experience, and I don't actually think it creates particularly good images. And we were watching a guy, and he didn't have particularly great body language, and it was all a little bit of an effort. And eventually, of course, he got to us. Now, one thing about me is that I am a sucker, an absolute sucker for having a family picture taken. If someone says, can I take a picture of the family? I will always say yes, always. I love it. I don't like being photographed very much, but the opportunity to have a picture of me with my family, I will never turn it down. Besides, if I didn't like it, I didn't have to buy it. So he came and he took a picture and he wanted to take far more. And no, I wasn't interested in that. I just wanted one. And his body language and his demeanor was really quite negative. And it was all right. So he disappeared off and, you know, we had this really beautiful meal. Anyway, he came back 3/4 hour later or so with a print in a folder. Now, I'd watched him earlier and he was trying to sell multi-images in these big albums, or that sort of, he was calling them albums, but they're really just glorified folders. He couldn't do that with us because he didn't have enough pictures. He only had one picture. So he brought out a very simple matted print and there was nothing he could upsell. And I bought it. Of course I bought it because it was a picture of my family. It's not a great picture of my family, but it's a picture of my family. And I wanted the opportunity to have that as a record of us being in Las Vegas. It beats having a selfie on an iPhone every time. And he was still pretty miserable. And then suddenly, for some reason, he got talking about what rock bands. He must have got wind of, in fact, we're British, and asked us what rock bands, 80s rock bands or something, was our favourite. And we got chatting. And it turns out he was a professional drummer. And then suddenly he came to life. So we knew it wasn't just a character trait. He really wasn't enjoying taking pictures, because as soon as he started talking about his life, it turns out he's a professional drummer. He was just animated and lovely. And if he'd have been a bit more like that during the shoot, he might have been able to sell us more than one picture. Anyway, we had a fantastic week. We did bars and we went to, oh, everywhere. It was great. Every day we did different entertainment, every afternoon by the pool, every evening out, great food and just the most amazing experience. On one of the days, we went down to see the Grand Canyon. Now, I've been lucky enough to do this a couple of times. Sarah's done it once with me on our honeymoon. We had our honeymoon down there. And so we decided to drive to the canyon this time via the Hoover Dam. It's a few hours of driving, but I didn't really want the expense of all of us getting into a chopper. I did want to see the Hoover Dam, and I didn't want to be on a bus. So we had a rental car, so we just piled into the rental car, headed out to the Hoover Dam, and then onwards to the canyon. And it is just an amazing place to be. I love the Grand Canyon. I love the scale of it. I love the drama of it. And of course, you don't actually see the canyon until you're right on top of it, because it's just a very big hole in the ground. Now, we drove through some incredible scenery. And if you get a chance to do that drive, I really recommend you do, because you start in this ridiculous city that is Las Vegas. I mean, it's just nuts. And gradually you go through the suburbs, which are much more conventional. And then you're out into the countryside. And before you know it, you're into rural Arizona and or Nevada. And it's just so different. And you drive for miles and you see very little. And then suddenly you start to see those craggy outcrops that are the familiar sort of geology of the Grand Canyon. And we drove down and we park up and we obviously talked to the kids about what they wanted to do. And Jay wasn't very keen about going on a helicopter, but we thought it'd be really good fun to at least, you know, just do a 20-minute ride in a helicopter and go show the kids the Grand Canyon. And it was glorious. It was absolutely phenomenal. We had the most incredible helicopter pilot called Alex, I think his name was, when he had a certain name stick. He was ultra cool. I think every pilot is ultra cool. They can't help it. They're born that way. In fact, I think that's the interview. I don't think you have to have any talent at flying. They just want to know that you're uber cool. And he was. But he flew us down into the Grand Canyon, and then he did this brilliant rise as we rise up over one of the ridges, and he's put the Top Gun music on, which is ridiculous. And it's so kitsch and so brilliant all at the same time. So we land, Jake comes out the helicopter, kisses the ground, as you do, because he was terrified. It was a good experience, though. He had to kind of know what it was like. And then we hop on a bus and we head across to the Skywalk. Now, the Skywalk is something I've always wanted to see ever since they built the thing. It's effectively a large U-shaped pier that juts out about 4,000 feet above the floor of the Grand Canyon. It's quite a big drop underneath this thing. It's all steel and it has a glass floor. So you walk out onto glass and you look between your feet and you're looking 4,000 foot down into the base of the Grand Canyon. And it's just phenomenal. I've always wanted to go see it. Now, it's taken a little bit of persuasion because Sarah's terrified of heights. So it took a lot of doing for her to do that. And all credit to her, all four of us, out we went onto this Skywalk. And as you go out, they insist you leave everything behind you. You're not allowed to take cameras, wallets, coins, phones. In fact, they're not very keen about glasses and caps because they don't want anything dropped off the edge and down into the canyon. And that also creates a great business opportunity because you can't take any pictures. And there's nothing you can do about it. You're not allowed anything out there at all. You go through X-ray machines to stop you. But as you walk out, there are four photographers working, waiting for you. They're just waiting for you because you are a captive customer. There's nowhere else you can get pictures. If you want pictures on the Skywalk, this is how you're going to do it. And we were very lucky in a guy called Justin met us. He was the photographer, one of the four, and he was so energetic, so positive, so bouncy, so funny. And I know he was just going through a series of well-practiced images because I could see, as we went in, we could see pictures that had been taken before. And as we went out, there were more pictures going up onto the screens from other photographers. They're all the same. The two siblings fighting, the parents looking happy, the parents looking sad at the two siblings fighting, the four of you lying on your back on the glass floor so they can look, you can see your through your head, you can see 4,000 feet down, you know, the kind of stuff. It's corny, but I didn't care because I'm there with my family. So this is really important to me. And Justin was brilliant. And throughout this, he had this energy about him and this laughter, and it just carries you through. And we're laughing throughout. We know it feels really corny, it feels a little bit awkward, but we're constantly laughing at everything he did. And I think it must have taken 10, maybe 15 minutes. He didn't slow down once. And his positivity and his energy drove that shoot. Now, I know they're going to sucker us when we get out. They're going to show us the images and try to persuade us to buy things. And I don't care because it means right now I know I've got at least a couple of pictures of me with my family, something I cannot tell you how valuable that is to me. And a sign of how energetic Justin was, how great he was at his job, was at the very end of the shoot when he'd finished. He kind of switched the camera off, took the memory card out to take it back inside, and he laughed, shook our hands and said, "That's it, I'm done for the day. That was my last shoot of the day." So he's been working out there. It's 90 degrees. He's been working out there all day. And even though we were the last shoot before we went home, it was still full of energy and it was happy and it was uplifting and it was joyous and it made me laugh, made all of us laugh in spite of ourselves. And in spite of Sarah standing on a bit of glass with a 4,000 foot drop, even she was looking happy and laughing. So 15 minutes later, we're standing in front of the screens looking at the images. And the deal is a simple one. It's $16 per print, or it's about $50 or $60, whatever it was, for the whole set on USB. Now, we were thinking we'd just get one. And Harriet, our daughter, saying, "Yeah, we'll just get one or two." But when we looked at the set, it's like, well, do you know what? There's four, probably three or four in there that are really kind of cool. We'd like to have those pictures. So instead of spending $16, $16 per print and maybe amassing a bill of $48 or maybe $54 or something, whatever it is, why not just spend $50 and get the whole lot on USB? And on top of that, they threw in a free DVD of how the Skywalk was built, which Jake was particularly interested in. So fair enough, you know, that's kind of a good deal. So it was actually our daughter saying, "Oh, just get one or two." But me and Sarah were both, "Well, let's for $50. That's such a good deal. Let's just do it." And we did it. And the deal was a no-brainer, really, because you get the whole set. We get to take the whole set home. And that's a perfect upsell. Think about what we've just been through. We've had a family shoot. We thought we were going to buy one, maybe two. We've ended up buying the whole set for $50, and we've come away incredibly happy at what we've done. And on top of that, as a supplier, they've saved themselves a little bit of money by not having to print all of these big prints at 10 by 7s. So it was just a great thing to do. And it's been really interesting to be on this side of the camera. And I can't tell you how much I love the pictures. They're not wonderful. They're not original. I've seen everybody doing the same things, but Justin was so funny and so engaging and drew us through it from one side of the Skywalk to the other that we just bought into it. You couldn't help yourself. You were just drawn into it. And I think that's the lesson. If you give your clients an experience like that, if you draw them through the shoot and you're positive and you're happy and you're upbeat and the memories you're creating are good ones, honestly, the memories I have are of us laughing. And we're a family where we take it in turns to laugh at one of us. You know, sometimes everyone will be laughing at me. Other times it's laughing at Jake. In this particular one, mostly we're laughing at Sarah because bless her, she stood on a bit of glass 4,000 foot up, and this is not where she would like to be. But it was just brilliant. And he worked, Justin, the photographer, worked flat out for the 10 or 15 minutes we were with him. And because of that, it didn't feel like we were being stitched up. It didn't feel like we were being overcharged. In fact, all of us said the same thing, which is we thought it would cost an awful lot more. We came away with great memories, a great experience, and a whole load of, well, they're mediocre pictures, really, but I love them. I absolutely love them. And there's the lesson. Do that with your client. Take them on a journey. Give them memories. Give them an experience. And at the end of it, have a very solid in-person sales strategy, and you'll be very successful at what you do. If you've enjoyed this podcast, why not subscribe? Go on, do it. We're on iTunes, we're on Spotify and Podbean, as well as being accessible on masteringportraitphotography.com. Go on, hit that subscribe button. We record one a week, more or less, depending on what they're doing outside the windows. If it's making a lot of noise, sometimes it takes me a little bit longer to do it. But if you do subscribe, of course, it's going to pop into your inbox at just that right moment when you're wondering what to listen to on the all too interminable drive to work, or when you're about to pick up the kids from that kids party they've all been to, all full of sugar and ready to scream their way home. And if you do get the chance, please, 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 could you leave us a review on iTunes, in particular on iTunes at this stage, because those reviews help drive the likelihood of us being found in searches. The star ratings really help us. So if you could do that, that'd be really, really, really helpful. You can say what you like, but just leave us some reviews so that it helps us drive the popularity of the podcast. It takes about 10 seconds to leave a review. It takes me about an hour to record one of these. So as a little thank you, if you've enjoyed listening to it, please do leave us a review on there. And if you fancy reading something or maybe watching a video, well, we've just posted a new one where we've walked around the village here with nothing more than a client, a camera and some creativity. And I love these videos. They're the kind of things I love to do where I don't have any, there's nothing clever. There's no clever lighting. There's no reflectors. There's no gizmos or gadgets. It's just me and a camera and someone really beautiful. Her name's Megan. We walk around the village taking different pictures, trying to show you how you can use your environment to your advantage, how you can use it in a creative way. It's a great video to watch. It's really, really lovely. So if you fancy that, then head across to masteringportraitphotography.com where there's that and there's a whole heap of other stuff as well. So if you have enjoyed this podcast, and we really hope you have, then let's hope we see you here next time. And remember, be kind to yourselves. Take care.